Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav Terminu za Ereš intervju. Tokrat gostimo nemškega producenta minimalističnega tehna, mojstra minimalističnega tehna Tomasa Brinkmana. Danes večer bo nastopil v klubu K4, tako da seveda, če vas zanima taka bolj zanimiva tehno muzika, pridite pogledat. Za začetek bomo slišali pa najprej skladbo E-Bar z njegovega CD-ja Tokyo Plus One, potem si bo Tomas pridružil v studiju, pa ga bomo kaj vprašali. So, hello Thomas, welcome to our studio again. You just said that you were here maybe 5 or 6 years ago when you were playing...
Seven years ago.
Oh.
Hi, Gora.
Hi. First we heard this song called E-Bar, and you were telling us an interesting story. It's a song from a Tokyo Plus One album, which is a sort of conceptual album about Japan, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us a bit about the song and the album?
Yeah, it's an opener of the album, and this is a bar, quite a special place, and I think it's not easy to find them anywhere else in the world than in Tokyo. It's like an apartment, somewhere in the fourth or fifth floor of a building, and the volume is really, really low, and you enter there, and there are lots of people drinking, but it's really relaxed. Way of doing a little club. Some people are sleeping there, and it's going all night long.
So it's not primarily a techno.
No, it's electronic music or whatever. So probably they play fado from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Or
so
you never know. So it's a quite big range of things they are doing there. But it's really special. It feels like a home place of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little club.
Right. You were probably performing in Japan or DJing.
Yeah.
When you were, you know, when you were playing there, were you DJing in a small clubs, small places like this one, or in a bigger places?
Yeah, I don't DJ anymore. Mm-hmm. So since I think I'm not DJing anymore since 10 years.
So you are playing live?
Yes. Whatever it means, so mm-hmm. but not really DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I played a couple of times in really small places in Japan, but I played more often in Japan than in Germany. So I mean
yeah, they're quite into this more extreme side of music, I guess. So you play for a bigger audience in Japan, maybe compared to Germany.
Compared to Germany, bigger audience, yeah, on some festivals, like the Taiko Festival, which is quite close to Fukushima.
Mm-hmm. Were you there after the tsunami?
Yes, I was in Tokyo.
So you still perform quite a bit nowadays?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that you were more focused on the producer work.
I have to produce things and uh-huh. then I can perform them.
Right. You know, your music varies from the more extreme side of techno on one side, or more extreme side of music on one side, to more club-oriented music
yeah.
on the other side. Do you make a distinction between these two?
Yes, you have to. So, I mean, if you are playing in a club on a Friday, Saturday night, I think it's not really useful to make intellectual experiments over there. So.
Mm-hmm. But you play in gallery spaces as well?
Sometimes in gallery spaces. If for example, before last time, I played in Kyushu, the southern island of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And we played there with a trio. With Oren Ambaki
mm-hmm.
and with Mika Weine.
Uh-huh, nice
and
one.
It was completely improvised.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were playing with your
with the vinyls, but there was nothing on. So I was not even using the motors of the turntables.
Mm-hmm.
Just pushing the vinyl with the hand and scratching it while I was working with it. There
mm-hmm.
haven't been any scratches on the vinyl before.
Mm-hmm. Maybe vinyl comes sort of more from the, let's say, techno context or electronic music context, but we wouldn't make a connection with Oren Ambaki and techno music, or at least this kind of techno music. Do you see yourself going more towards this experimental or extreme music stuff lately?
I was always in a way quite close to this thought, because I studied art, so for me it's
mm-hmm.
not really clear where are the borders.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always something I really liked about the conceptual thinking about music, but also it's quite difficult. In art, they accept this. You can go into a gallery, you can make shows with really conceptual things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you perform music in a club, this way, people won't accept this.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever try maybe, you know, to put something like more extreme into the club context?
Yeah, sometimes you can do this. It's like even some techno tracks, they are working this way. They are like little submarines. Like
mm-hmm.
the last track from this album, the eighth track, this love song. So it's really noisy, hard song, and it's
mm-hmm.
using the bass drum in really. Yeah, in quite special way. So it's really trash. Mm-hmm. Trash and noise.
Nice. Maybe, you said you're performing gallery spaces in front of more musically open crowd, probably.
Then if you perform in gallery spaces, often you perform in front of artists, and that's really different.
Mm-hmm. Did you maybe try a similar experiment and try to play some straight-on techno in gallery context?
Yes, I did this.
And how did the public react to that?
They dance.
Yeah. Nice.
It's not a problem. So, but I think that gallery is a gallery and a club is a club. So it's a little bit the difference between the white cube and the black box. And for me, black box is still an interesting concept. So, and the white cube often is quite boring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I, before the song Keybar, I introduced you as a sort of a master of minimal techno. How do you, what's your understanding of minimal? You know, when you ask, for example, Steve Reich, the questions about minimalism are sort of forbidden. He says that it's a maximalist music. When you really listen to it, there's lots of things happening. And we could say the same thing for your music. So
yeah,
what's your perception?
So I was never really in love with this term.
Mm-hmm.
And even it's nothing new, minimalism, you have it since the church is ringing the bells. So
mm-hmm.
1,000 years back,
mm-hmm.
there was already minimalism. And I don't know, so this is... it's a position, and I think it's necessary. So if you see the work of Sarah.
Of who?
Sarah Richard.
Mm-hmm. I don't know her.
He's doing sculpture, American artist.
Mm-hmm.
It makes really sense. There's few things he's putting together, and such big suspense in this few little elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it, but often I'm using lots of different things in one track. So I said before last week I was thinking about bringing a third laptop, but it's too much stuff to carry. I was working with Fruity Loops last week.
Mm-hmm.
Really
people still use Fruity Loops.
Yeah, I like it still. So it's really cheap, and I found a folder on my laptop, mm-hmm. and really old laptop. And I opened the folder, and there were 500 bass drums, different bass drums. And I started to make a track out of the 500 different bass drums.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun.
Nice.
So it's not minimalism. So even if you only use bass drums in a straight way,
mm-hmm.
If you just open a folder with 500 different bass drums,
right.
It's not really minimalism anymore.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned various fields of artist expression, and you said you were studying at arts college. So obviously you didn't come directly from the music side of things. When did this happen? You were growing up when lots of interesting things were happening in Germany, like krautrock, and then later on in the 80s, stuff like that. Was there a particular event that made you decide you want to be a musician, or were just...
The problem was always that once I thought about studying music, but not the usual music, the orff music, so with the orff instruments, this percussion instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked for you had to sing and you had to play piano, and both was impossible for me
mm-hmm.
back then. So I didn't follow anymore this idea of studying music this way. But the special thing about our town was that it was a town where they were producing fabric.
You were from Düsseldorf?
Near Düsseldorf. The name of the town is Mönchengladbach. So we had a quite good art scene and a good museum back then. But there was also there was this looms. Jacquard looms, and they are in a way they are quite close to computers, to sequencers,
mm-hmm.
and they were producing sound like sequencers and so on. Back then, this industry was not fucked up, so we had lots of factories producing this fabric, And so I was able to listen in these factories to the looms, not just one loom, probably 20 looms at the same time working. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was fucking great sound. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. And so when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, and for us popular back then were musicians like the ones from Cannes or Kraftwerk or Escher Temple or mm-hmm. even Klaus Schulze, Tangerine Dream and so on and so on. And we found, I found something similar between this industrial sound and them. So maybe I was completely wrong. Mm-hmm. But for me, somehow it made sense to bring these things together. And in fact, this sequencing sounds of looms are not so far from sequencing sounds of synthesizers mm-hmm. or sequences. Mm-hmm. And also back then, we started to figure out that it was possible to find first sequences. And we started to make them ourselves with hot iron and piece by piece, and they were always making trouble, so not working very well. This old analog synthesizer stuff.
Right. You mentioned all these interesting bands coming out from krautrock or even before krautrock, like Ken and stuff. And when we exchanged a few emails, when you were sending me sort of recordings that inspire you or inspired in some way, you mentioned you saw Guru play at your school.
Yeah, yeah.
So because these bands, I imagine, were quite extreme in their time, you know, and I was quite surprised that they were performing in a public school. So was this music exposed to a wider audience even back then?
Yeah, they had what is called aula, mm-hmm. so a performing room. And bands like this, they were performing there, and people were coming not only from school, from all over, just to see them. And Guru Guru, anyway, they were quite special because back then they were running around Munich with a camion, with a lorry. And they had all the gear on the back of the lorry. And then somebody left the lorry, was running into probably a boutique or a shop and just plugging in. And then they had electric energy on the back of the lorry, and they started to play in the city. So it was quite subversive. I don't know, we perceived it this way. And then for us, they were a little bit different from others.
Mm-hmm. And you, when you were sending these recordings of that sort of inspire you, you sent lots of, you're particularly interested in exploring rhythms, and you sent lots of recordings from Africa, which is a sort of birthplace for rhythm. When did you discover all this music from Africa? You're probably still discovering lots of stuff, but because I know that even, you know, some drummers who were involved in krautrock, they took much inspiration from Africa and African rhythms. When did this happen for you?
More or less all the time, so something constantly you listen to it from time to time, here and there, and I don't know, so it has, even if you take Afro-American music, it has an influence this way, probably mm-hmm. even more this way. Mm-hmm. I'm really not into Africa, even part of my family is coming from Africa. I didn't grow up there, and I mean, we are talking about Africa, and there are probably 30 different countries. So from the Arab countries down to South Africa, and there are all these different tribes, and everybody's doing different music. So you cannot talk about Africa in general.
You mentioned Bushman music.
Bushman is really crazy stuff because they have such a special sense for rhythm, and they are doing such complicated rhythms. We are only used to four quarters, and all the rest is gone. Even jazz is using this, and it's quite simple. So, and it's really reduced, and we are missing lots of approaches to rhythm and mm-hmm. they still have it, and they grow up with it. Even the Greeks, they have it. Mm-hmm. They are also using in their music some really difficult relations, mm-hmm. rhythm relations.
Right, but maybe there are some drummers who sort of captured this African feeling or Bushman feeling for rhythm, like Jaki Liebezeit. So he can play live twice, and he's like a human metronome, they say. And
they say, but it's not true. Huh? So if you try to mix, let's say, Wolfgang Vogt record with
Jaki
Liebezeit drumming, he will always leave. He's not like a machine, not at all. Mm-hmm. Right, we had this idea. And for me, the special thing about him is that he's really simple and he's keeping things simple. And what I really hated when I was young, I never liked to play in bands because they don't have I think they were playing too free. So
you like things to be organized?
Not organized, but sometimes you have to keep things a little bit more down. So, mm-hmm. so too much creativity sometimes is not the best.
This is
way.
Interesting through your collaboration with Ambarki and Nico Vindo, who both go really out of the box.
They listen. They have lots of discipline, both of them. Mm-hmm. And this is the point. So this discipline. So. Back then, it was more that everybody wanted to express himself. Mm-hmm. The drummer wanted to express himself, the bass player and the guitar and the singer, everybody wanted to express himself.
So it was too much of an expression.
At least we had jazz rock, this fusion things, expressing themselves. Or like John McLaughlin and Aldi Meola playing Friday night at San Francisco. And it's like racing on a guitar.
Right. So we are kind of running out of time, unfortunately. Sure. So maybe just, you mentioned that you stopped DJing and that you just play live nowadays. What made you decide to stop DJing, you know, because you know so much music, it would be pretty interesting to introduce.
Yes, but I don't like to go to record shops first.
And so you are not a collector?
I'm not a collector at all. I hate collecting things. Mm. It's a burden.
And, you know, last week Der Dritte Raum were playing in the same club as you are playing tonight, and I asked them if they knew some German artist, techno producer, since there are lots of interesting things going within techno scene, especially in Berlin. But it's mostly foreign producers. We don't know any about these younger German producers. Is there someone that got your attention lately, maybe?
There's some Austrian.
Austrian.
I played last year. I played in Madrid, and Electro Guzzi was playing there.
Electro Guzzi.
Yeah, for me it was really a surprise. They were doing this techno music with real instruments, and I was there with Alexander, mm-hmm. and Alexander was like, "What the fuck are they doing? You just need a machine. You don't need all this gear." And so I was like, "Come on!" So it's nice. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
They are trying it, and they are reinventing the whole thing in mm-hmm. the way they want to reinvent it. Mm-hmm.
When I was going to their gig before, I was thinking it's going to be more like a show of performance, you know. Yeah. And then it was really, really interesting stuff they were doing.
It's music. Mm-hmm. They are playing music and they make people dance and then they think, okay, they don't need a drum machine.
Right.
And they don't have to invent the whole techno new. So these times are gone.
Mm-hmm. So maybe just one last question. You know, you mentioned in your when we were exchanging emails that you recently got a daughter. And that she was into vacuum cleaner sounds.
Yes.
You put her to sleep with vacuum cleaner. Now that she's a bit, like a month older, is she into more extreme stuff by now?
No, she figured out about the trick with the vacuum cleaner, and it's not possible anymore.
Okay, so
to fool her with vacuum cleaners, with unorganized noise sounds.
Excellent. So thank you very much for taking the
time.
Thank
you very much.
And we will see you in the club tonight. To je bil torej intervju s Tomasom Brinkmanom, kot rečen ga pa danes večer lahko vidite v klubu K4. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, za tehniko je pa poskrbel Željko. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radia Študent.